Chapter 8. Use Your Leisure Time Better. For thousands of years, philosophers have tried to explain how we can lead a good life. If we spend all our time working or solving problems, in the end, this will make us depressed. For a good life, we also need to do things that we know will make us happy. In this chapter, I call this kind of activity high-quality leisure. For many people, leisure time is the time when they are not working, looking after their family, or sleeping. Nowadays, people work more and have more difficult jobs than in the past, so they are often more tired. It is now very easy to fill our leisure time by looking at a smartphone or tablet. When people try to stop using technology, they often become depressed because they don't know any other, better ways of filling their leisure time. In other words, people do not know what to do with themselves when digital technology is removed. This chapter will help you to understand how to use your leisure time in a better way and enjoy high-quality leisure in your own life. There are a growing number of people who are trying to become financially independent, FI. This means that they want to have enough money to live without working. In the past, FI people were usually older people who had ended their working life or people who had been given a lot of money by their parents. But now, some younger people are trying to become FI by working hard for a short time and saving their money rather than spending it. When you become FI, you have much more leisure time than normal people. So, FI people are a good place to start when we are looking at leisure time and how to use it. Pete Aidney, who became financially independent in his early 30s, now blogs about his life using the name Mr. Money Mustache. When he became FI, Pete did not do all the things that young men often do with their leisure time: playing video games, watching sports, looking at the internet. Instead, he used his free time to become more active. Pete does not own a television and does not have Netflix. He occasionally rents a movie, but usually his family does not need screens to fill their free time. Instead, he spends most of his time working on projects, especially outdoors. In recent years, Pete has repaired and improved his family's house, and then he built an office behind it. A day in his life can include weight training, writing, playing musical instruments, and making lists of jobs to do. Most of what Pete does involves hard, tiring work. He explains it like this: it does not cost money, it gives him exercise, and it is good for the health of his mind as well as his body. In 1908, the British writer Arnold Bennett wrote a book called How to Live on 24 Hours a Day. Bennett wrote that the average London office worker worked an 8-hour day with 16 hours left. He argued that half of those 16 hours could be used to do something useful, but that most people wasted this time with things like smoking or drinking alcohol. Instead, he thought that workers should use this leisure time for more serious things, such as reading difficult books. Most people believe that they need to use their leisure time to rest and relax, and that this will help them to work better the next day. But Bennett believed the opposite, that the more you use your brain in your leisure time, the better you will work in your working day. In other words, using more energy for leisure will give you more energy for work. Bennett's argument explains why, if we waste our free time watching screens, hours later we feel more tired than when we started to watch them. So, our first lesson about how to achieve high-quality leisure is that we need to do difficult and even tiring things, and not just sit in front of our screens. One important way to achieve high-quality leisure is to do a craft. A craft is any activity where you use your skill to create something valuable. For example, if you can make a table out of a pile of wooden boards, that is craft. Other examples are knitting a sweater from a ball of wool or making a nice tune by playing a guitar. The furniture maker, Gary Rogowski, wrote a book called Handmade in 2017. In this book, he argued for the importance of craft in a world where it seems that everyone works on screens. People need to use tools with their hands and to make things, he writes. Long ago, we learned to think by using our hands. When we use screens to work, instead of our hands, we start to lose our sense of touch. Another thing we lose is the feeling of achievement that we get when we make something with our hands rather than design something on screen. Craft gives us a way to show other people our skill. Of course, some people might like a joke or comment you post on social media, but this is not the same as the positive things people say when they see a beautifully made wooden table or hear a beautifully played piece of music. This is why it is so good for us to use our skills to make things with our hands in the real world. Another benefit of high-quality leisure is that it can be a way of meeting other people. The journalist David Sachs wrote about a good example of this. A new cafe opened near his Toronto apartment. It did not serve alcohol, and it did not have Wi-Fi. The food was not interesting. The chairs were uncomfortable, and it cost $5 just to enter. But Sachs saw that, on the weekend, the cafe's 120 seats would easily fill, with a line of people waiting that went out onto the sidewalk. The secret of the cafe's success was that it was a board games cafe. You enter with a group of friends, are given a table, and then can choose any game you want to play from the cafe's big library of games. The success of this cafe is surprising. Most people thought that board games would disappear in a digital world, but they have not. David Sachs thinks the reason for this is the social experience of playing board games. When you sit down at a table to play a board game with other people, you communicate in many different ways, not just by speaking. For example, you look at the other player's body language to try to find out what they are planning to do. When you lose, you have to smile, and the other player has to try not to smile too much. Sachs noticed that people in the cafe were speaking and laughing much more loudly than they would in other situations. The board games themselves are not so important, but the special social experience is. Another example of high-quality leisure are the new ways of exercising which have been created in recent years. Sometimes, groups of people meet outdoors, for example, in the park. Some of these groups are for men or women only. They all meet regularly, so members have the benefit of being part of a group. After a while, group members become friends and support each other while they are exercising. There are lots of other examples, including sports, volunteering, or working with a team on a group project, like repairing an old boat or building something with your neighbors. The most successful social leisure activities involve two things. First, they make you spend time with other people in person and not on a screen. Second, they give you a chance to connect with and communicate with other people in an organized way. This means that the activity should have rules which you all follow and a goal which you all share. High-quality leisure does not mean that you have to completely stop using digital technology. A good example of this is the Mouse Book Club. If you join this club, you will be sent books 4 times a year. But this is not an ordinary book club. Each book is specially printed and is the same height and width as a smartphone. This means you can put the book in your pocket, next to your smartphone. When you want to pull out your phone, you can pull out the book instead. These books do not need batteries, they do not have a screen, and they do not ring. The Mouse Book Club also helps readers to understand and discuss the books they are reading. They have a blog and a podcast, and they are working on an online tool to help readers start their own book discussion groups. All of these things need technology. But the technology is being used to give readers a better, more personal experience. In other words, the technology is supporting the experience of reading and discussing, but it is not the most important part of the experience. This is another example of the philosophy of digital minimalism. We do not have to stop using technology completely, but we should use it to help us do something better with our time.